Amen. Did anyone out in the congregation have a special song? Or? Amen. Praise his holy name. Karen, you got one tonight? Amen. Sure you don't have a song you want to sing? Josh? Amen. Set me on fire. Set me on fire with the power from above. Set me on fire with your precious holy love. It's my desire. Oh, I want the world to see your love burning through me. Amen. Sing it again. Set me on fire with your power from above. Set me on fire. It's my desire. Oh, I want the world to see your love burning through me. Set me on fire. Amen. Set me on fire, Lord. Amen. Is that your desire? Amen. Praise his holy name. Lord Jesus. Have your way. Amen. Amen. Praise his holy name. Amen. I love him. Amen. Praise his name. Amen. Oh, what a precious desire to have, to be set on fire. Fire from above. Glory to his wonderful name. Hallelujah. I love him. Isn't he wonderful? Praise God. Amen. Let's just sing a little chorus. We're going to ask Brother Timothy to come this evening. Deliver what the Lord's laid on his heart. Are you hungry for the word? Amen. I am. I want God to feed me that precious word. Amen. Let's just sing a little chorus. I love him as our brother comes forward. I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Precious Lord, we are so very grateful to be here this evening. And Lord, as we just sang that little song, I love him. Lord, I didn't want to stand behind this pulpit as a minister, Lord, as we sang that. Because Lord, I laid your word here, Lord. And Lord, I want to make sure we always give honor to you. Lord, I know that people don't mean that in any way to the man. But Lord, I don't want to do anything, Lord, that would ever give a chance, Lord, that you wouldn't get the glory or the honor for what you've done in our hearts and lives. Lord, you're so great.
Yes, you are, Lord.
Because we can see your greatness, how humble we should be. Lord, I just ask that you would bless your word this night. Lord, these few words, Lord, may it just do the work that's needed wherever it may be. It's for a purpose, I'm sure, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for everything and all things that you have done and are doing in our lives. And Lord, we just want to stay yielded to you, Lord. Lord, that you would always receive your whatever you would want, Lord, would be done. And Lord, as we see that great appearing nearing, Lord, and the time is drawing short, Lord, and how we ought to be a people, Lord, that's looking more and more toward to be certain of God that every word is being lived in my life. Oh, Lord, just lead us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit as I know that you are. And Lord, let us be humble to your will, Lord, and to your word. And Lord, to always just be willing for whatever you would have. And we'll never fail to praise you and worship you in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of Man, we ask these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't you love him? Oh, my saints, he's so precious. God is so good. Oh, just feel his sweet presence, his precious Holy Spirit. My, just love him. Oh, he's so precious. I guess while you're still standing, we'll turn our Bibles. Hey, man, I ain't going to hold you very long tonight. Just got a little couple of scriptures on my heart and some things that, Lord, just thought we'd read. And just let this word, just each one of us, as we read some of these things, just let's just check our heart. Check our lives. That's where we're at. We've reached a day and an age where it's not the... I can't... The words are losing me here. Brother Branham said we shouldn't be expressing some church. The expression of some church or the expression of some pastor or anything like that. But we've reached a stage where we ought to be expressing Christ. Amen. In everything that we do. Yes. Everything that we believe. The days of, I believe this because my church believes that, those are gone.
Amen. Amen.
This ain't a day to rely on my pastor believes it like this, that's the way I'm going to believe it. No. This is a day to know for yourself.
Amen.
And if you don't know, and there's a doubt in your heart on any word, you better take it to God in prayer and begin
Amen.
To pray.
Amen.
God answers prayers.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. But we must be able to stand in this day as individuals. That day's coming, saints, when this earth begins to shake and rock and reel, you're going to have to know and be able to stand on what you, God, has placed in your heart.
Yeah.
Not on what he's placed in mine,
That's right.
your pastors, your brother sitting beside you. You've got to stand on what God's given you. Mind, be sure that you know without a shadow of a doubt that it was God that spoke to you.
Amen.
And it's his word 100% lining up back down the line.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Matthew, the 28th chapter here for scripture here, and you can be seated. Matthew 28, and we'll begin there at the 18th verse. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Just to take a little text out of that this evening, just to go along with these scriptures we're going to read, is there in the 20th verse, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And my is Jesus left this earth, and then the ministry came down in the gifts that God placed in the church at that time. And they began to speak as God led them to speak. And our instructions began to be laid down. And let's go ahead and turn over here to, let's go to Luke, the 18th chapter, and read a very familiar little story, parable, you might call it, but just catch the essence out of this maybe a little bit to pull some of these things out. Luke 18, 18th verse, and he says, And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. And now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Amen. But I want you to notice, saints, this young man thought he had everything right. But he knew something was lacking. He knew he needed something. Or he would have never asked, What must I do to inherit that eternal life? But then when he asked, the price was too great. And it just wasn't there. The desire wasn't there for that, to go on that last step with God. And that's where we, each one tonight, saints, we have a lot and so much word, each one of us. God is coming this hour with the mysteries. The fullness of the word of God has come back in this day. And so many are satisfied in saying, I believe this. And I believe that scripture, and I believe this word, and I believe this, and I believe, till I believe just becomes a common thing. I know it's in the papers of the Bible, I know it's written in the word, but does it get expressed out of my life? And that's the true identification, that you believe something, is when that will turn around and do the work in your life to bring about what this scripture said, these scriptures said would happen. And it's all the word, saints. Sometimes we put emphasis on denying the mysteries because it's very important. And don't ever think I'm trying to take away from that. But the little foxes eats up the vine.
Amen.
The little bitty things that Satan can creep into our lives with.
Amen.
Simple things. As our brother mentioned this morning, as a husband to our wives, the love we should have to them, and the respect we should have to them, and the way that we should treat them with all due respect, just because the scripture says to love your wife as the church, as Christ loved the church. That's a lot of love, saints. That's a lot of long suffering. Me and you and I are part of that church, and how much long suffering has Christ had with us? How much did, when I should have got what I deserved, he was still long suffering.
Amen.
And showed me grace and mercy. And we need this. What this does, saints, is Christ comes into our lives, it brings a sweetness. It should bring a boldness for the word. And as understanding comes, we should do all things through the understanding of this word, and realizing that my life has to conform to this. From the correction of my children, it must be done with love. That don't mean you drop the paddle and you lay down and just, oh, I'm going to love them in. No. But even when I pick up that rod of correction, I better have love in my heart for that child and understand why I am trying to Amen. Teach that child and to bend it in the ways that I've got to bend it.
Amen.
And all of these things has to come to be part of our life. Saints, it's not something, I can't watch another brother raise his children and say, I'm going to raise my children the way he's raising his. You can't watch me raise my children and say, I'm going to do it just like he did. We've got to do it by the word.
Amen.
Each child is different. I don't know. We'll just go on. But each child is different. And what I may have to do for this child to get it to turn, another child, that may be extreme. It may cause that child problems later in life. And that's where, with understanding as parents, we must, as husbands in our home, and then our wives too, we must all together in our homes, we better make sure that love of Christ is being expressed in all things.
Amen.
All the way down to that, because those children, what they see mommy and daddy do, that's gonna mold their life more than any words you can say. And as this comes up, the children, as they raise, and if mommy and daddy's still bickering and still fussing and can't get along in the home, If daddy still don't treat mommy right, or if mommy's still not treating daddy right, the children are seeing that, and they're sitting in the same pew you are, and they're hearing the very things that was read off of them pages. And they know where your life's at. They know. Why, saints? Because I was a child once, and I heard those things read without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I knew that there was things out of cater. And that's where we must, as a Christian. I'm not going to say a body of believers. I'm going to say as a Christian, a person that is just here to express Christ. His life living in us, every page of this Bible has got to become real. Those are just two little examples, a wife and our children and our home. That's small. And it must come all the way up. All the way through, that every word has to be applied. And that's the age we're living in. It's time to, so much as emphasis is put out everywhere, people want to fuss over just doctrine. And that's in all these message churches, this brother says, I believe it like this. And that gets to be the forefront because pastors won't hold their pulpit off. So then they've got to get back up and preach after the brother left because they're not monitoring these things. And the people don't ever get food to grow on. There's never, the things that should be taught on are never taught on because there's too many people up here trying to bring the great, big, high and mighty things of God, and the little bitty things get left undone. Yes. The bases, you can't build a house starting at the roof and go down. And that's where everybody wants to be. Everybody wants those high, great things. It's up high, but we must start at the bottom. Amen. And make sure that every word's applied. Make sure every word is dovetailing together and creating and bringing about the change in my body and my life. I see that overcoming daily. Something that I can't do, but I see God taking my body over, molding me and conforming me to this word. And then, as I see that and see the greatness of God coming into my life, showing me that you're doing these things for me, the greater He gets, the smaller I become, the littler I get, and the more I realize, Lord, I can't do this without you. And that's where, saints, every word must be applied and come greater to us. And tonight, I just would like to read this over here to go with this. For tonight, maybe this would be the most important one that I would like to draw out for each one of us to really be sure that it's applied in our life. And just double check with this for this evening, if nothing else. But let's turn over to let's just read this I'm didn't write that down. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. I forgot to write the scripture down for it. But oh my saints, it's time we see that every word's applied, and as I said, we want to be sure that it's not I'm holding on to something because somebody said it. I'm not holding on to it because my pastor believes it that way. That is fine to believe what your pastor believes, but if God doesn't reveal it to you, you're going to be just as lost as everyone else. Because if the revelation doesn't strike your heart, you're wasting your time. If there's something in God's word I'm bucking against and I can't get a revelation of it, I'm wasting my time trying to hold on to the rest of it. Because it must be every word. And that's why it becomes so important to see revelation. Must be. Amen. I must have a revelation of every Amen. Word God has spoke to me. Amen. I can't go on anything other than that. I got to hear you speak to my heart. Lord, show me Amen. That I can see it. Amen. Oh my, it's not like, you know, it's almost like a blind person sometimes. You can take a picture and you need to describe that all to a blind person. And in their mind, they can create that image of what that is. They just never really totally understand, though. They can never truly grasp what that is. But oh, you open their eyes and then let them see that. How much greater it becomes. And that's what it is. It's so easy to say, I believe this because Brother Branham said it, but has it been revealed to me? And that's why we have the ministry up here today, bringing these things back, bringing this word that's already been brought, presenting it back with the moving of the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit has a chance to lay these things into our hearts. And that's why we must come with hungry hearts, come pulling on God. Lord, show me what I have need of. Oh, you might be able to read things, but it takes the anointing of the Holy Spirit sometimes to gel that word together to bring that picture that you can see it. My saints, we're living in an age For you see, as the word gets greater, all the false is going to fall away. All the false ideas, the false, and it can hold. As our brother said this morning, don't try to impersonate somebody. You better be who you are. And if I don't have a revelation of something, I better be honest before God and say, God, I don't understand this. And something's lacking, Lord, put it together for me. And show me, Lord, what it is that I need here. Because, you know, it's so easy to draw conclusions sometimes and say, this must be the way it is, because that's all I can see. But if something's still pecking on the inside, that probably means there's more to it that you need to find. And God's the only one that can give that. My saints, we ought to cry out greater. I know we hear that all the time, but revelation. Oh my, we need it greatly in our lives, individuals. Why it takes it away from being a church that is relying on what this brother feels about something or what that pastor says, but it's got to line back up in that word. And I've got to be able to, what if something happened? Who knows what? Let's just say I missed service one night, me and my family, and something happened and everybody here died or the church was destroyed and all the people that I felt close to and everybody I held was gone. And now here I stand by myself. Do I have a revelation of what God's Word's given me that I can carry on and keep what has been presented to me the way God wants it to be? Or would I have to fall back to, oh, I know they don't believe this part of the Word and they don't, but oh well, I don't know what else to do. No, let God in reality, if no one else, if everyone else was to leave you and reject the Word, but yet God had revealed it to you, there should be that burning revelation in our hearts to be able to stand and say, I will carry on with what God has given me. And carry on. If I have to walk alone, walk by myself. That's the age we're living in, saints. I don't know why I keep saying it, but it's what the Holy Spirit's pressing on my heart. This is the day you must walk on. It don't matter what lays behind. We're not riding each other's shirt tails. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're serving the Lord. This is an individual affair, and you better make sure that that token is applied in your life and that you are applying it by the Word of God to your home and to your family. Amen. Not taking what I do or another brother does. Each one of us individuals better be taking that Word and making sure. Amen. Because it's going to be sad shape if you have to give an account. Why did it? Because He did it that way. No, God's going to tell you, I give you the Word. I told you what to do. My saints, we need to really take heed to these things. Well, we won't read that, but that was on the prodigal son, how he went and did all that he'd done. And he come home, and his dad was still there with his hand out as a father to a son in the natural, and still there with forgiveness in his heart and a joy in his heart. My son has come home. But let's turn over to, I think it's Matthew. Let me make sure I got that right. Luke 15, I'm sorry. Let's go to Luke 15, and I just want to read this. But my saints, this is kind of before the parable of the lost son. It's kind of funny how that fell out there. Maybe we'll just take and read this little chapter here. But just listen to what Jesus is saying, and kind of the scripture says. Let's just start here, and let's just go with the scriptures. Amen. Then he said, Luke 15, he says, and then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hearing. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders and rejoicing. And I want you to think of this, saints. Sometimes maybe you've heard a message 7 times. Let's just say you've heard it 8. But sometimes you watch maybe a sinner come through the door. Maybe someone that's new. And you watch the Holy Spirit may preach the exact same thing that you've already heard 8 times. Why? Because there's going to be more rejoicing over that one if it would accept that word. One that will repent. Just let's go on here. He says, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, and saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found that piece which I had lost. And likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in all the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was at a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son which was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and the dancing, and he called out to the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. And therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, and neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this is thy brother that was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. And I want you to notice here two different attitudes to this son coming home. And I want us to each one to really ask ourselves, if I'd have been the father, would I have forgiven that son? Had I been the brother and seen the situation, would I have forgiven that brother? Does the Holy Spirit really deal with our hearts to be that forgiving? Is that forgiveness that great in my life? That though the sinner be great, the sin may look great in our eyes, the sin in God's eyes, sin is sin. But you know, as human people, we view big sin, little sin sometimes it seems to be. We want to, this is a great bad thing. But James said, if you offend in one, you've offended in all. If you lie or if you kill, you're still guilty. It's all in there. But as we look at this, do we have that forgiveness, that much forgiving in our hearts? Though this happened and this brother may have done this to me and really made me look bad and really trampled me in the ground and really drove me down, do I have that forgiveness, true forgiveness from the depths of my heart? Not saying I'll forgive him, but down inside it's still eating at me. Down inside it's still digging me. And I'd just like to say something about it, but I'm not going to. Saints, we need to check our hearts and make sure that's not there in any way, with any situation. Because as we see this coming, we don't know what God's going to do. We don't know what God will do from day to day, who may walk through that door, what may take place later in life. And you know, there's many situations when you read this and you think of sins that can be committed against someone. And you think of Paul. Paul's a great example. And I believe God let things happen for a reason like that in the scriptures, so we would have something to look back to. But as Paul stood there and held them coats for them men that stoned Stephen, persecuted many Christians and put them to death. And then God reached down and got a hold of his life and brought him in amongst all of them brothers that had been hiding from him. How do you think them brothers must have felt? But there was something greater in them than they was themselves. Because the natural man can't forgive those things. Because men, they'll forgive, but we don't forget. And those things are always, Satan has a way of trying to keep them stirred up in your mind. You remember what they done? You remember what happened? And how it must have been for those men to see Paul get up and begin to minister the word and be able to look and say, oh, do you know what he done? Can you remember? But my, look at the forgiveness that was in their hearts. As God dealt with them on their end before Paul ever came in. God put it together. Why? Because he wanted it to flow. He wanted it to move. No confusion. But God put that together. And saints, that's great. And that's where we must make sure we're not holding grudges. It's one thing to hold a person accountable for the word. And to hold a standard with the word. But don't ever hold a grudge. And always make sure you're forgiving from the bottom of your heart. For whatever it may be. If they come before God and ask for repentance. And you see them crying out. You better make sure you forgive them. But then as we also see our Lord on the cross. And all that was done to him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But sometimes we get raised up in ourselves and we feel people, and we should as Christians. If we do something against a brother, we should go to that brother and make that right. But if we are just, somebody does something to us and may not have realized it, but we get to so expectant, they better come to me and apologize. And in that mode, you can turn that around and it begins to build in you and causes that friction. And that'll run the Holy Spirit out of our lives. And that's where we must always be in prayer. If a brother does something, pray for that brother. Let's not push each other down or try to drag up this and that. But no, take it to God in prayer and say, Lord, you know the situation. Don't let me ever be bitter, Lord. Don't ever let me raise up in myself and think I'm going to. No. Because you see it all through the land. People want to pick and choose and hold grudges against this brother because of something he's brought maybe. Or somewhere he got off on the word and they want to so lift that up. But a brother over here can get off the word just as bad because, as I said, one's no better than the other. And they'll forgive this brother and all. Let's just keep our arms around him. But no. Saints, it's got to be if a brother makes a mistake and he comes back to the word and he repents and gets that thing cleaned out of his life, there better be a true forgiveness from our hearts back to that. And never a ill feeling of holding a grudge. But it must be. And the reason being, let's just turn over here to, I think it's in Luke also. Let's go to Luke, I think it's 17. Let's just read this to go with it. We've heard these things many times, but just let them dwell in your heart. God may have a reason for this. You know, as I said, each one of us, this is something that's just been on my heart. And the Lord just tonight, I thought this is what he had for us. But here in 17, he says, then he said to his disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses come, but woe unto them through whom they come. It were better that a millstone were hanged around about his neck and cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against you seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. My saints, seven times in a day. And this is for a brother. And each one of us as parents, just think of that the next time that little child is trying your patience. Maybe it's just getting under your skin. He's done that thing 20 times this day. Maybe you've had to whoop him 20 times that day. And that might be your test to see if you're going to let anger rise up in you and break the word. But always remember, the love, long-suffering Christ had for you. How many times did He tell you not to do something and maybe you still done it? And maybe you got your neck pushed back down, but how long-suffering was He? To my wife, maybe I have to correct her. Maybe something happens and I've got to correct her. And maybe I wind up having to do it three times. Is my long-suffering still there? Or do I want to get mad and raise up? I've told her and I've told her and I've told her. Long-suffering, saints.
Amen.
And correction with the Word. Even in our homes.
Amen.
Our children should understand why this is happening. Why that. Why I'm correcting. Not just just grabbing and doing and they don't understand. But all things must be done in love. From the pulpit to the door to when I'm out there with every situation that I deal with. In here as a deacon, I've got to make sure that there is a sweetness. I'm holding God's word in reverence, but still keeping a standard, but not getting in myself of my personal feelings. It all must be done in here according to the word of God, even as it falls out into the world and then into our homes. Every word, the little words. And that's why we must make sure. It's not something I've heard someone else say we should do, or so-and-so said I should. We better make sure it's what the Word told me to do.
Amen.
Make sure my life and what is producing out lines back up with that Word in every situation.
Amen.
Everything, saints. That's why when we start to see that, then we begin. Let's turn over to I think it's James. Let me see. Hey man, I'm going to have to learn to write my notes a little better. I get scribbling sometimes and don't make them clear, and then you kind of get stuck. Hey man. Now let's go ahead and read this because I mentioned it, and that way we can read the scripture, and then this is not the one I was actually wanting, but we'll get to it. This is James, the second chapter in the 8th verse. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. And now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. And so speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Just remember that, saints. There's no big sin, little sin here. Anybody that may listen to this recording, in God's eyes, if I'm a liar, I've missed out the same as somebody that's committed murder. I've missed out the same as somebody that's committed adultery. And that's how big it needs to be in our lives. A lie, a simple little thing of maybe misleading the truth can throw me out of the kingdom of God. A little thing is that after all the word that I know? Yes, absolutely. One little thing. It all must be applied. Amen. Let's see here. I got that. Let's go over to 1 John. And 1 John in the 3rd chapter, beginning here at the 18th verse. Hey, man, I like this little, you know, when you read these books of John and see all that's written in there. It's a good 3-chapter book. All the Bible's good to read, but these are 3 good verses to always keep remembering and studying in these books. We ought to study all the New Testament books. This was the base for the Christian life. This was our foundation. Brother Branham come with the fullness that had been stolen through men's creeds down through the ages to restore what they had here at the original day of Pentecost. That's what we're headed back to. And it's going to happen, saints, in this day that history won't go on and they won't get to write that book. But there would be a book of Acts wrote behind the Christians of this day. People that's living for God, with God doing the manifestations through their life, living great miracles and signs, that might come with it, but a life, the life that they're living is so close to what God would have. Forgiveness is expressed, love, long-suffering, patience, all these things that comes with. It isn't the evidence. Just having love, just having patience, that's not the evidence. But that all comes with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is acts of the Holy Spirit, every bit of it, saints. Here in the third chapter of the first book of John, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us not, great God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen. I like that little verse. Because we keep his commandments, all of them, right here. And that's where I can know. That's where I can gain that confidence.
Amen.
I'm keeping that word.
Amen.
And saints, that's, we must have that. That is something you've got to have for God to be able to move. You've got to be able to stand before God with absolutely nothing condemning my heart, knowing that that blood's there. And if I've made a mistake, it's under that blood. And I know my life is hid under that blood. And by God's grace, I am overcoming daily. And this scripture can become, my heart does not condemn me. And I know when I raise my hand or wherever I may be and ask God, I know God has got to move for me. Why? Because he promised me, if your heart condemns you not, you'll have whatever you ask for. And saints, that's so much. And I want to read this little quote Brother Branham made in Perfect Faith. He read the scripture I didn't write down and that didn't show up. This is in Perfect Faith, preached August 25th, 1963. But he was talking here. I'll read just a little bit up so you catch the scripture that he was referring to. And he says, when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. And always remember that. I don't care if it's a sinner done to you, may have been 50 years ago. If that's still in your heart and you can't forgive that sinner for that, and you still want to hold that in your heart, you might as well forget asking God for anything. You better, saints, it don't matter if it's a Christian that you need that's needing forgiveness or a sinner. There has to be absolutely nothing in my heart that I'm holding against anyone. It must be, Lord, I have forgiven them. And it must be from the depths of our heart, saints. Because as Brother Branham says here, just listen, this is what he said. He says, now faith is based on forgiveness. And then as we said this morning, trying to get the church into a place where we could really see apostolic times moving among us. That's what we all hunger. And it's just laying right at the door and we see it. But we want to see more of it. And we want to see it in such a flow that'll help us to flow out to others. Now that's not the only thing. There's a lot more word that goes with this of that can prevent me from receiving revelation. But this is just one little word tonight. Just to remember that if I stand and I want something from God and I want to see God moving in my life, I better be making sure that there is nothing in my heart against anyone, anywhere, that I have forgiven all those that have maybe transgressed against me, and make sure it's all placed under the blood, and make sure I can come to God with a clean conscience, knowing my heart is clean, and knowing I can stand before God and say, Lord, I've placed everything I've ever done under your blood, and Lord, there's nothing in my heart, there's no ill against anyone, and stand there with all things. His Brother Branham in his prayer lines, that was a lot of the things that most of the time that kept people from getting their healing, that kept people from getting things. He'd say, you go repent and make that right and God will give it to you.
Yes.
How important it is, saints, to be sure that I'm not holding, you sisters can come to the instruments, that I'm holding something against anyone. But to see the love that Christ expressed through these parables, the way he expressed when he was here to the sinner, oh, he was bold against those self-righteous religious people. Thought they knew everything and then still living a life of sin. He was showing them love. He was giving them correction. And don't ever think that love doesn't get corrective, because it does. And it sometimes it cuts and it peels and it hurts the old flesh.
Yes.
But it's all for God's glory.
Amen.
To his benefit. That's why I'm here. That's why I must not receive my correction here, and I'd rather get it here than have to stand before Him. Oh, my, on that day, and say, Lord, I thought I had it right, and I didn't. What a sad time that would be. But, oh, I thank God for what He's given us. Amen. Let's all stand. I just pray that there's a little stir your hearts. You know, there's so much word we have, saints. So much we've heard over and over and over again. But it's time that it's got to be living. And not just, I'm in agreement with that, or I'll go along with that. No, I've got to believe it and understand it. And through the understanding of God revealing it, it will bring about a vindication through my body. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know I serve a living God. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, you don't know what this morning service meant to me. You can't know. But God knows all things. And He's ever willing to prove that He's God. But we won't give Him them opportunities sometimes to prove He is. We're so prone as humans to try to take things in our hands and fix the situation. Do this with this situation. And it's sometimes we need to learn greater. Amen. To lean on God. Lord, the situation's yours. And you know, the Lord put a little burden on my heart last Sunday for a sinner. And I just pray, Lord, help me. Because I don't know how to take care of the situation, and I don't know what to do. But I just felt this little still small voice say, bring that one in. It looks hopeless. And it just looks like it's just overwhelming. And how could it be? But I said, Lord, if it's what You want, You teach me to get out of the way completely. And that's what we need, is to get completely out of the way with all this word. That God can take each one of us in His hands and say, I'm going to use you to do this. And it may go so unnoticed. But if I know that it was God using me to do that situation, how great we should just be so willing to let Him have His way. But He's wanting to prove, saints, that He is alive. He wants to express that He didn't lose His power. Amen. He's wanting those things to be expressed through people and express even the gifts that He has that can be in the church, but He wants it to be expressed with a life that's lived. Amen. In accordance to His word. Lord. And my, I don't know about you, but I want to see that in more of my life. Amen. 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 I don't know if we can sing it, but that little chorus, I won't walk without Jesus. Amen. Let's just see if we can sing it. If you don't know it, I'm going to ask Sister, maybe we'll just ask Sister Teresa to sing it first. The first time the sisters know how to play it and she knows how to sing it, because I mess up one little bit of it. But if she'll just sing the chorus to it, and then we'll all join in and let's sing that together. Pray it becomes a desire of our heart. Hallelujah.
Jesus, I refuse to live day as before. I won't go without Jesus, just ain't so. Without Jesus, everything that I would do, I just won't do. I won't walk without Jesus, I won't talk without Jesus, I refuse to live one day as before. I won't go without Jesus, just ain't so, without Jesus, I just won't do without the Lord.
Amen. Do you feel that in your heart, saints? My, every day, walking so close. My, I pray that the message that came last Sunday is still, or Thursday night rather, I'm sorry, is still on your heart, and I pray it's still burning. We must see, we got to get out of the way. Everything I think, everything I say and I do has got to be God first. And I pray that as this will become so great in our hearts, the revelation will become so great that we can get out of the way. All of our feelings, all of our thoughts, all I feel about it, and say, God, you take it. And take me, Lord, and keep me in your plan. Oh, as he spoke of Eve this morning, just think, she had no choice. She did, but she was put here on a free moral agency. But because of God's great plan, he knew she had to fall. He had to do that. And if God is great enough to start there and then keep it in continuity, how many years?
Amen.
How much more greater should we see that he can finish this work?
Amen.
In a people. I seen him work through all them prophets of old. Seen him work through all them many people. Seen him in the New Testament in a body of flesh. Come and do all that he did, and then to pay the price that had to be paid for my sins, the things I should have paid for. And then to see him come back on the day of Pentecost, separate himself in tongues of fire to his body of believers.
Amen.
Oh my, that he had already, before they was ever born, he had seen him in his mind, placed that little seed there. He knew when we'd hit this earth, that seed was right there. Amen. Born in us. Amen. And then in his due season, see him bring that to life. Oh, how much greater we ought to just want to let him take over. Take our lives in his hands and conform us to the image of Christ and see his life lived and works done. Saints, it ain't about what we want to do. It's what he wants in our lives.
Amen.
But above all, I see greater than I ever have. To God be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the praise. To God be all. Any good that happens, any good that you see in us. As Paul said, one says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And Paul, in the scripture says, Paul said, one watered and one, but it was God that give the increase. And that's the same way in anything we do. We can plant a kernel of corn in the ground, but it's only God's grace if that kernel of corn gives me an ear of corn to eat to produce life for this body. And that's how great he is. Out of the dust of the earth, he formed this body. He formed the first man from the dust of the earth. Look at all the complex things that's on the insides of these bodies. And from the dust of the earth, my God created that. Oh my, how much greater he is. So what, I've got a broke back. So what, I got a broke arm, a broke leg. God made the first one from the dust of the earth. What more can he do? Took five little fishes and blessed them. And just kept breaking them off, handing them out pre-cooked, ready to eat. Right there they went. How great is our God? He can do those things today. But we've got to get out of the way. We get in that glamour of seeing those things, and then maybe it makes us think we want to do them. Brothers have never seen that kind of, maybe had that chance to see that. And then God's doing these things. They didn't know what to think maybe sometimes. But it was God. They couldn't deny it. And they couldn't. There was no way they could take the glory for that. And that's the way it ought to be today.
Amen.
Whether it be a healing, whatever happens,
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the praise. If I come to service and the word comes forth and I receive a revelation,
Amen.
To God be the praise. To God be the glory.
Amen.
To God always, never, never to me or any man or anybody that would stand on a pulpit, but to God. Thank you, Lord, for what you imparted to me today. Oh, my saints, hallelujah. Don't you love him? Amen. Glory to God. Oh my. Hallelujah. I'm just going to turn it over to our pastor. Hallelujah.
Amen. Seems like there's a little song, "To God Be the Glory." I don't know if we can sing that or not. It's really high, I think. To God be the glory. I don't know. We better not try that. Unless you know it. Amen. But to God be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the praise and the honor. And I'll tell you, I've seen that more and more, as far as personally in my life, than I ever have. and this committing completely unto Him. Be yielded to the Holy Spirit, and God will lead you on what to do. And when He leads, everything comes out just right. Amen. And it's so good. And like I said, it's not any person. It isn't the man. No, sir. Maybe years ago we were so used to giving man glory, but may we never let it cross our mind anymore. May it always be the glory to God. Amen. Because without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. But by grace, we are saved. Amen. Not only you, but I am too. Amen. So we're all saved by the grace of God. So may we always give Him the glory and the honor for everything that is said and done. And I believe if we really, really truly get in a complete state of that, I believe God will do more. When He knows He can move, and no man will get the glory. If a hands get laid on somebody and somebody gets healed, that man will get no glory. And that man that does it will not have no puffed up feeling whatsoever. He knows it was God that done that. Amen. Then God can move, you see. Oh my, that's what's all about, yielding and letting God have the preeminence. Amen. Glory. I don't care if it's us brothers ministering and bringing a message. If it fits the need and somebody gets fed from it, it's God that gets the glory. You see, we was just open temples for God to lead by the Holy Ghost and to bring it. It wasn't us. It was the Holy Ghost, you see. But I can see the Holy Ghost leading this little place. Amen. God is having His way. I just want Him to have more of His way. Amen. Let Him get the praise and the glory and the honor. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that little chorus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
like me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much. Thank you again so much for your sweet Holy Spirit. Lord, we just feel it so close within us, so sweet, how we're so appreciative of that. We just pray that it will somehow, Lord, just be in an open channel that you can use us in whatever you want to do. Lord, if there's that one little last sinner, maybe we'll approach tomorrow. I don't know. Only you are the one that knows where that little seed's laying. Lord, may we, everywhere we go, and at any time, may our life be salty. But Lord, they would want to drink. And Lord, they'd become so thirsty from the salt that it'd be such something on the inside that they want to quench. And Lord, you will be the one that will be able to quench that grace thirst. Oh God, I pray that you'll deal with our hearts, Lord. Use us, whatever it may be. Bless us with revelation of the word that we'll be able to understand and know how to yield ourselves. Know how to get ourselves out of the way. Lord Jesus, and just let you live. Let you have the preeminence. Even these precious words tonight, Lord, let it live within our hearts. Let it be truly expressed that this nation and this people shall see that you are alive. You're well. You're living in a people. Bless us, Lord, with it. Every little bride all over the earth, Lord, wherever she's at. Oh, God, continue to feed her. Bless her with revelation also. Lord, get us all ready for that great catching away. We love you now and appreciate all you've done this day. May we just stay in the Spirit, Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Talk in the Spirit. May that truly be in our heart, as the prophet said. May there be a continuation of that cry to reach out in the Spirit and that passion to know your word and that fervent desire to please you. Lord, let it burn within our hearts. And again, Lord, if it takes place just like that, and according to your word, there's no man that'll get the glory. Lord, we will give you the glory. We'll give you the honor and the praise for everything that's done right in these bodies. Oh, God, may we always give you the glory. Bless us now as we leave this little place. And, Lord, keep us in thy precious care, which we know you will. And, Lord, until we meet again, and God's blessings be upon each one of us. We ask in your holy, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Just feel the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love him. Hate to leave. I really do. And I apologize again for this morning holding you so long. I just, time got away from me and never really realized it was that late. I hope it was easy on you. I hope the Holy Ghost made it easy on you. Amen. But I really feel bad about that. But it was all to the good, I'm sure.
Amen.
I'm sure it was. God always works everything to the good to them that loves him. Amen. May God richly bless you all. You're dismissed. Amen.